Welcome to the Ascent Church Podcast. We hope this message from Pastor Jay Armalee inspires you to pursue God, equip people, and release hope.
How many have their Bibles? You got to raise them. Am I seeing more this time? No, you can't steal Bibles. That goes totally against the sermon series that we're doing. All right, awesome. Encourage you to bring your Bibles because we are in a series called The Way of Life, An Ancient Pathway. And it is my hope that we will discover how to walk more like Jesus, how to become more like Jesus. Now, I went, just to start us off, this is to help you understand what we talked about last week. I went and grabbed blueprints. These are actually blueprints. They're quite old because they're blueprints of our building, this building, when it was a bowling alley. Now, if you were to open these up and look at them, and I gave these to you, and I said, well, I can do this. Pastor Gary, I want you to build this. And I gave you the blueprints, but I want you to build it by yourself. I want you to open the blueprints, look at what they look like, and go ahead, I want you to build it. How far would you get? Help, Lord. Actually, if you look in the first page, I'd be lost because I was looking at it. I'm like, I don't even know what these mean. This is an architect. This is like, you got to really know what you're talking about. What we looked at last week is the fact that sometimes the Old Testament, you're given a set of blueprints and it can be very difficult to follow. But the point and the key was last week was the fact that Jesus doesn't, in the New Testament with the New Covenant, doesn't give us blueprints. He gives us what? Fine print? No. He gives us what? The way, which is the word, which is Jesus. It wasn't the way. He becomes the way. It's literally like, you know what? I know it was pretty tough giving you these plans, but I'm not going to give you these plans without being the plan and being with you the whole way. So it would be like having Jesus is the architect and he walks with us all the time to help us build this. Thank goodness, right? We can literally say thank God because he wants to walk with us. But the reality is we looked at last week is we have two choices. And a lot of times, instead of choosing Jesus, we choose self ideas, the way we think we should go, and it gets us into a whole lot of trouble. So I want you to know that if you are just catching up, you're jumping into a conversation where Jesus wants to walk with you, and he is not just a blueprint, he is the way. Amen? Amen. I want you to turn to your Bibles, jump in, go to turn to John. We're going to do a bunch of scriptures today, so it's good if you have your Bibles. I'll give you the chapter. Let's go there right now, and then we'll go to John 14. John 14 literally just described what we said. John 14, verse 5 and 6 says this. Starting with verse 5, because I think it's interesting, Thomas said to him, John 14, 5 and 6, Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. And then he says, how can we know the way? How can we build this house? How do we know the way? And this is where Jesus said the line, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So, you know, we're 100% Bible believing in the sense that there is no other way to Jesus, no other way to God except through Jesus. A lot of times people want to mix that up and they want to say you can get here, there, and this is all good. There is no way to the Father except through Jesus. Somebody, amen? Amen. Amen. That's pretty clear. But he says, he doesn't say, I will show you the way. He says, I am the way. And he's a person and his name is Jesus. All right? One of the things that I want to look at today. And I would say if we're building a building, we have an architect with us. Architect? We have him with us. But I would say it this way. We are building the ground floor today. And I actually think in a lot of Christianity that we see today in North America, let me preface it with that, we are actually missing a solid foundation, and we are seeing the results of it now. We're missing a solid foundation, and we're seeing the results. And what I hope to do today is show you it's not what you claim out of your mouth, but it's how you walk. It's not what you claim. Everybody can claim something, right? Pastor Rod goes on a fishing trip and he starts, I caught fish this big. It's not what he claims. It's when he shows me the picture and the fish is this big. Just joking around. But if we say the fish is this big, it's not the claim, it's how big the fish is. So a lot of times in Christianity, we tout that term. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. But how do you walk? That's the question I want to present today. You might be surprised that my kids think I'm old. That's not what you might be surprised at. Sorry. That is true. My kids think I'm old. I'm a Facebook generation. Anybody Facebook? Right? Pre-Facebook? Pre-internet? I remember when the internet came out, pre-mail. Don't raise your hand on that. I'm Facebook generation, so I do most of my social media is still Facebook, and then we have Instagram. I can't keep up. Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, like every generation kind of has their thing. I'm Facebook. And I've talked about this before, but you might be surprised to know that I follow two influencers. I'm not going to tell you their names. And these influencers are the most polar opposite you can be when it comes to life and politics. Polar opposite. I'm so amazed when they post something, because I often want to look at both, that they are seeing the same event and the same news headlines through totally different perspectives. Like, absolutely, like, you, take off your glasses. What are you looking at? And they are so polar opposite. You might be surprised that I do that. There's a reason why I do that. One, because I don't agree with either of them. They're not like this person is who I believe or this person. They both actually come up with interesting points that I value sometimes. But here's the thing. I do not want my Facebook to give me an algorithm that's only one thing. All of us in life are having... Every day of the week, you are discipled. Did you know that? Every time you turn on the radio, every time you go to work, every time you read a headline, you are being formed and discipled. The question is, what are you being formed into? And we have more, we've talked about this many times, more at our fingertips than we've ever had before. But I hope you know this, that if you're on Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, there are those things called algorithms that if you follow something, it's going to push it to you. And it's going to push more to you. The problem is that you begin to think you only see life through this very narrow window that you think is life. Only to find out, that's why I have these other people, oh my gosh, people actually think a little different on this stream. And I could have about 12 different streams, but all of them see events differently. We were talking about that the other day, how often you watch one video, right? You watch something on YouTube or you do a Google search and Facebook starts pushing it. But listen, if you only have friends that think exactly the same way, you only hear one side. And there's other people that may think a little differently. And there's other people that think really differently. But the trouble is that if we're only seeing that thing over and over and over again, we think it's real. We think it's right. We now have this in politics where they're the left and the right and the wrong. And this is challenging us. What I want to do with today's series and the whole today's message and the whole series, my goal is a big, lofty goal, but I want to take off the glasses that we've been seeing with and go, Lord, I want your glasses. Actually, I prefer not to have glasses at all. I just want your sight. Because we have been interpreting things not through the word a lot of times. We interpret it through denominational thoughts. We interpret it through life thoughts. We interpret it through family dynamics and family behavior. And we say it's okay because my family did it. But what we need to ask ourselves is it okay? And does it line up with what Jesus said? And if it doesn't, we need to rewind a little bit and figure that out. Amen? Turn just the chapter before to John 13. John 13, verse 35. So again, it's not what you claim, it's how you walk. John 13, verse 35 says something really interesting. We're gonna lay a foundation for the rest of the series. It's not a foundation that you don't know, but it's a foundation I wanna clarify. Jesus says this in John 13, 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you would love one another. Now, that's not a new commandment, because earlier they asked the greatest commandments. He says, love God, love people. This is not new. He translates it new. He says, love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. That's a big, and maybe it's not as big right now, but it's going to be big in a few days because he's going to go to a cross and die. But he's saying, hey, I know you've been told to love God, love people. I want you to love people like I have loved people. This is my what? Commandment. This is my commandment. I have two commandments I'm giving you. Love God with all your heart, love people. And then it says, by this you will know that you are, by this all will know that you are my disciples. By this, by having a really big church, they will all know you are my disciples. By singing really good songs on key, they will all, put that in there. They will all know that you're my disciples. By being the loudest voice on the internet, they will know you're my disciples. By putting your kids just in Christian school, they will know that you are my disciples. I'm not saying these are wrong things, but what we need to get down to is, what does he say? By this they will know you are my disciples. All will know if you have love for one another. I've been told at times, maybe not to my face, but gosh, we would love to have those, like, man, can you pull out those really rare things and find those intricate things in scripture, you know, those numerical patterns, and it's gonna tell us when the world's gonna end. Like, why do we need to do that when the thing that's right in front of us is sometimes the hardest to walk out? I don't need some obscure scripture. I need to figure out love one another. Anybody else wanna say amen to that? As Christians, now you may say, Jay, we love each other. I know, but I also, I have the benefit of counseling people when people struggle with how much they hate someone. I've actually been out in the foyer and I've heard somebody after a service say, oh man, I hate that person. And Jesus says, if you have love one for another. So let's dive into this. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John 2. Actually, let me say this too. If you have time this week, I would encourage you to read a chapter of 1 John every day. Maybe I'll try to remember that to post that. 1 John, if you could read a chapter every day, be fantastic. But we're gonna pick it up. 1 John 2. 3 to 11. 1 John 2, 3 to 11. I'm going to read directly right out of scripture, okay? Now, by this we know that we know him. By this we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments. Now, John's the author of love. He is the writer of love. He is the one that expands this whole thing with love. But look what he says. You don't have to wonder what he's saying. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him. Now, interesting, just stop right there. We went from, you could have said, he who says that he reads the commands of Moses that he gave on Sinai and does not do them is a liar. But that's not what we're talking about anymore. See, we're back to a person because he says, he who says he abides in him, has relationship with him, walks with him, talks with him, ought to himself also walk just as he walked. It's pretty plain, right? If I'm going to say I'm married to Krista, which I am, I'm saying I'm married to Krista, and I never walk a day in my life with Krista, like, I'm not really married to her then. Maybe I am by paper, but a marriage is abiding together. A marriage is covenant. A marriage is walking life. And if you've been married 50 years, how many have been married 50 years? Look at that. That's amazing. How many know that there are challenges when you walk 50 years with someone? Anybody want to admit? There's something about a liar here. Not a one. Well, then we're all going to take counseling. The reality is, it doesn't matter who you walk with, you're going to have challenges. The point he's saying, though, is if you say you abide with him and you walk with him, but you don't look anything like him, something's wrong. Now, if you read all of John, you'll realize that John is often saying, aren't we thankful that we have an advocate with the Father who forgives us of our sins? Aren't you grateful? Because in walking like Jesus, how many know that we're always going to fall short? I wonder if we're going to get to heaven and still work on it. I don't know how that works. All I know is that I hope I was better today than I was yesterday. Sometimes there's some blips in the road, but I continually want to get better. But let's continue reading. He goes into it again. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment to which you have heard from the beginning. Now, you would think he's talking about an old commandment that's going back to Moses and Sinai. He's not. He's going back to the words of Jesus because this is written many years later. And he's saying, it's not a new commandment. I'm going back to the old commandment that Jesus gave you that is part of the new covenant. The old commandment is the word which you've heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and to you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is shining. Here we go. Verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in the darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Like that's not me. That's scripture. And I think right now, we as a body of believers, both here and in the world, need to start going, Lord, am I walking like you? Because what he wants from us is to walk in love. And let's just start without any confusion. Well, if we're going to start without confusion, that it's not just our brothers and sisters physically, it's not just our brothers and sisters in the church. He goes on, if you want to look at it, he talks about who's my neighbor. He begins to clearly say, listen, we need to love everyone. And then he says, don't just love the one you love, love your enemy and love those that persecute you. I'm sure you guys are seeing some of this, but maybe I see a lot more of it. When I begin to see Christians that begin to mock, ridicule, make fun of, spew hatred while they're sharing a message about what needs to be done, I think, Lord, we're walking away from how you've asked us to walk. But then I have to ask myself sometimes, I could be saying that, but then I know, and my family knows because we have a chat, and I'll get frustrated, and then I have to stop and go, but is that okay? Now, I may not use the word, well, I don't want to be a liar. Not looking at any side of the room. Fish is this big. I don't have any problems in my marriage. Pastor, we need to rethink our staff. I pause for a minute because I actually might have said I hate this man. So I'm being convicted as I preach because I wanted to say I don't think I've ever said that. And then it was like, no, I think I have. I could dislike this person. I could dislike how he treats people. I could dislike decisions that they make, or blah, blah, blah. But the Bible clearly says, I cannot hate, and I cannot have hate in my heart. Now, we need to start really looking at Scripture and going, Lord, am I walking this way? I know people in church that have times not wanted to even sit near each other because they hate each other. I don't want to be like that. I want to be, if I'm abiding, this is what John's trying to make. He's saying, if you're abiding with the one that is love, and we're going to look at that in a second, he doesn't say love, he actually says I am love, and we are abiding with him, then that love should begin to pour out of me because I'm so close. It's like when you've been married a long time. I'm looking around the room. I don't see anybody. But sometimes when you've been married a long time, you start to wear similar clothing, matching items, and sometimes facial expressions. Or you know when somebody, you know, they're having a conversation and they finish each other's sentences, right? There was a couple, I can't remember who they were. It drove me crazy because I couldn't figure out who to look to because they finished each other's sentences all the time. But when you've been married 50, 60 years, you just know each other. My question is, if we've gone to church for 40, 50 years and love is not within us, we need to find out what is going on. And what I would say is going on, part of what I'd go back to is that we are being discipled every day, whether it's your friends, your coworkers, around the water cooler, as they used to say. It's mainly the internet, it's social media, but we need to figure out what algorithm is being pushed, and is it Jesus and the words of Christ? Because I want my life to look like him. I want my kids to be able to say, Dad, you've been the same at church with the way you preach as you are at home. And there are times I know that I have completely blown it, 100%. I remember there's a time with my two girls, I laid into them, I was so angry, and then I drove away, and then I came back. Because when you drive away, and you really start to think, you're like, oh gosh. So I drove back, and I said, girls, I'm so sorry. We are human, but I wanna get closer and closer, amen. I'm just going to read, if you want to follow along, I just want to pull out a few scriptures just in case you're wondering. This is 1 John 3, just moving a little bit ahead. 1 John 3, verse 11 says, for this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. 1 John 3, 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Verse 23, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another. He gave us commandment. Now go John 4, verse 1. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. See, I think for a long time in the church, sometimes its maturity has been measured by how much we know, how many scriptures we can share, how many songs we can sing. But I really think the true measurement, the measurement, is how well do you love? Because that's what John is saying. Maturity isn't what you can spew out. Maturity is how you love others. And I'm concerned right now, we live in a generation that is beginning to separate these words of Jesus with a whole lot of other things. And I want to get the church back to saying, look, we're going to love like you. See, at Ascent, I want it to be known that we don't love a political party. We love Jesus. Amen. Because if we only love one political party and we preach that, we're only going, the algorithm begins. Do you see what happens? If we say this party is God's party, that only people that believe in that party come to this church. And that means the only thing I'm gonna hear from people is what that party believes. Therefore, that algorithm just continues. So everything I do believes, I believe in that. It's interesting. Sometimes I'll go with American politics. This is not a political message, but this is where I see it showing up the most. It's interesting because you can talk to a white American conservative and or white American, and oftentimes they'll vote Republican. But it's interesting, if you listen to a Black American, a lot of times they vote Democratic because they've seen social justice on one side and they're convinced that's the right side. This side's convinced this is the right side. And we're at war with each other. But you know what the beautiful thing is? Christians, we stand right in the middle. Jesus is love, and we have to figure out how to navigate that. Right? That's why I want Ascent to stand for love. So when people come in, I'm so grateful. I actually don't see them today, which is interesting. Jamaican brothers and sisters, when they come in, I want to figure out how to love them 100%. Any nation that comes in here, I want to love them. I dream one day that this will be such a multi-diverse, it'll be like a miracle, because people will go, in Essex? Yes, because we're so diverse. Because if we think we have it all, we're in trouble. I want to love well. Let's go to one more scripture, shall we? I lied, two more scriptures. Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 says this. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Hopefully it doesn't swell. But did you get that? Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. Paul felt at some point he had enough maturity to say, imitate me as I imitate Christ. But I want to tell you, let's just imitate Christ. Don't imitate me. Because have you ever seen that when your kids imitate you and you're like, where did that come from? That's got to be from mom. And then you go, nope, that's totally from me. And you're like, oh my goodness, they are imitating me and I don't like what I see. So let's imitate Jesus. One more scripture. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to say it. Galatians 5:6 says this, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. You can go, because in other scriptures, he says male or female, Gentile or Jew, avails anything, but faith working through love. Faith working through love is the example. It says the only thing that counts is faith working through love. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Now this opens up something we're not gonna talk about because we don't have time, but a huge conversation, doesn't it? How do I love? Because we're in a world where it's difficult because we see things that we know are wrong and yet we have to choose and find a way to love. So here's what I know. Love is not softness. Love is not avoiding hard conversations. And that's actually the reason why we're doing the series with Thrive Group. Love is not pretending that sin doesn't matter. But love confronts, it never dehumanizes people. Love speaks truth, but it refuses to crush people. Love disagrees without dishonoring. If your truth makes you cruel, it's not Jesus. Can I say that one again? If your truth makes you cruel, it's not Jesus. And there are so many scriptures that we can look at where Jesus walks into situations that are sinful. And yet the love and compassion he pours out to pull them out of sin is how we want to be. We're going to take communion in a minute. So can the worship team come on back up, whoever's here? So here's, before we take communion. And those songs were beautiful because it was all about the blood. And if you pull it back, the blood is all about the sacrifice. If you need a communion, just raise your hand. I'll say that again because I know people are distracted right now for a minute. Just, I'll give it a second. We were singing about the blood. The blood is the ultimate gift given to us of a man who was God that sacrificed his life to show what love looked like. So for all of us, when we say, I want to love like Christ, even in Romans, it says, men, love your wives like Christ loves the church. Do you know what Jesus did for the church and for us? He died. I want you to know this does not negate boundaries. There has to be wisdom. It doesn't mean we throw ourselves back into dangerous situations for the sake of love. There's all that that goes with it. What I'm trying to get at is heart condition. When in my heart I can say I hate somebody, when I hate him, when I hate her, I know something's wrong with my heart. And I'm trying to, even in this message for us, for me, get back to that place to go, Lord, I struggle with this person. I struggle with their position. I struggle with their choices. But Lord, I want to love them like you love them because you died for them. And I don't know how to do that. But Lord, I'm so grateful that you didn't just say that. You didn't just give me the blueprints. You actually said you would walk with me and show me how to do it. So I need your help. I need you to show me how to do this. I need you to show me how to have boundaries, but I also need to show you, you need to show me how to have love, because this is the foundation of the church. This literally is the foundation of the building that we build, the formation of how we become who we are, that we have to have love deep within us. And I want to see that come back in my life and other people's lives, all of our lives. So here's what I want you to ponder as we go back into maybe that second song about beautiful blood. So who are you struggling to love? Person that hurt you? Coworker who frustrates you? The family member who disappointed you? The voice online that angers you? The political party that you don't understand and you're furious with? The incident that happened that really ripped to your core? I sat this week for a little bit with an incident that really has shaped my life, realizing that I've just layer after layer gone after it, but there's still something inside of me that really struggles. And what is it for you? As we sing this song, and we're gonna take communion at the end of it, close your eyes. Just begin to ask the Lord, Lord, you are the architect. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you've promised you would walk with me. Would you show me where I am failing to show that love? Would you show me where I have still bitterness and anger? Would you show me so I can be healed? Go ahead. Lord, we thank you for the blood. Lord, we are so grateful that you don't give us blueprints to this life to walk. You walk it with us. So Lord, as we take communion, you see each one of our hearts and maybe the areas that we struggle with. And I thank you, Father God, that you are aware of those areas already. But we invite you into those areas to begin to, first of all, heal our heart from the pain, trauma, hurt, frustration, things that were done that were not fair. Would you heal? Lord, the blood is not just to cleanse us and forgiveness, it is to heal as well. So would you heal our hearts? And Lord, we're asking as well that you wouldn't just heal, and I thank you, you don't leave us there. You want to now empower us to find a way to love. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come in and show us how. Fill us with your love as we take his body. And Lord, as we take the blood, we just say, what a wonderful blood. The wonderful blood that you showed us what love looks like on a cross. Amen. So as we close, I encourage you again to read 1 John. And here's your assignment for this week as you A, begin to ponder those that have been hard to love. But I'd like you to do something. So why I'm doing this series is because I said it earlier, we're all being formed. I want to become people that are formed by Christ, and it takes intentionality. It's not enough to just come here, listen to a sermon, and go home. It's something that we have to do all week. So here's your assignment. You guys ready for an assignment? Tell me the assignment first. Everywhere you go this week, I want you to become aware of somebody, some situation that you become aware to go, oh, that's what I struggle to love. And you acknowledge it in your heart, not to the person. My pastor says, I need to tell you, I have a hard time loving you. Don't do that. Acknowledge it in your heart. And then if you can go a step further, love on that person somehow. Maybe it's just a kind word that you haven't spoken. It could start with a hello in the morning. It could be you're in the grocery store and somebody that is ringing you out is something that so grieves you, a choice in their lifestyle, the color of their hair. We have different generations in here. Color of their skin, if we're gonna be honest. And you learn to go, Lord, teach me to love this person because you do. And if I'm gonna say I walk with you, then I have to say I walk like you. And if I walk like you, my actions need to show that. And then you can in your heart go, dear Jesus, help. I don't know how, but you do. And you didn't just give us the blueprints. You walk with us. Amen. Why don't you stand? Lord, I ask you to fill us with your love. Lord, I just raise my hands if you want to join me. Lord, we just say today, fill us. We ask you to fill us with your love. Lord, we ask you through your Holy Spirit that dwells within us that you would do that which only you can do through me so I may love better. We say, help, Lord.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Ascent, you can visit our website at ascentchurch.ca.